Good evening. We're going to go ahead and get started and explain a little bit about what's happening this evening and why it's happening. So if you haven't been to Candlelight Service, it's pretty laid back. It's pretty simple. It's not about us. And so we're going to sing some songs. There's a few traditions that we've established that we will be doing. When we get done with the worship and the message, if you're wondering, well, when do we get to set something on fire? Because that's always the big worry, right? Give all the kids the candles too early, and all bets are off. So what will happen, just so you know when and how, we're going to sing some songs, and then I'm going to come up and I'm going to share a little bit, and then we're going to have a moment of communion, and so there'll just be some, I think, just some soft music played during that or something, right? You got a song, so there'll be a song, and as you come up for communion, the bread's here, and I just give you some quick instructions so we don't have to do it later, right? So this side is holy bread, and this side is gluten-free, so you pick, but what we ask is that everybody just work your way up to the center, and go ahead and get your bread and dip it, and then exit to the sides. And there's where you'll grab your candle, and don't forget the little holder, unless you're okay with wax melting all over your fingers. And go ahead and just light your candle there, and carefully take it back to your seat. And we'll sing a couple more songs, and we'll conclude the evening. So I think those are the instructions. I'm gonna pray, and we're gonna get going. So Father God, again, we thank you so much. Thank you so much for this day, and Father, as many of us gathered together, whether it be here or in other places of worship this morning, and Father, we gather now just for a time to celebrate, to commemorate, to remember the gift that you have given us, the gift that you have given us in your Son, that your love for us was so great that you would send him for us. And that, Father, that this night would be a night that we would celebrate his birth. And that, Jesus, that we would give you thanks for what it is that you have come, what you have done, what has been accomplished at the cross. And now we wait to enter into your presence in a whole new way. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. And as we get together here for Christmas, there's always the question. It's the eternal question until everybody understands and everybody knows. And that's actually what the video we're about to play. It's the question of what is this whole thing all about?
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I love the fact that a simple cartoon can tell us everything we need to know. We've been doing Advent over the past month, and as we've done Advent, each Each day we've had somebody, each Sunday we've had somebody coming up and lighting the candles. Do we have somebody to light the candles? Okay, we'll take care of it. We've been reading some scripture along with it and then having a special song of some sort. So I know that we've got that song too. And so we're going to have them, it's the guys, right? Yeah, we're going to have the guys come forward. In fact, they're the ones who opened our Advent time, our Advent season this year. And so they'll come forward. I'm going to read the scripture. And this scripture is, we've been doing a lot of different elements of the Christmas story, whether from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, or even the Christmas story itself from Luke. But this morning it's coming from John. This is John's Christmas story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It says, John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he whom I have said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has now made him known." So, traditions. They're not all bad, right? In fact, they're usually good. It's why we keep doing things over and over and over. But the question I guess I would have for you this morning, or this evening, when we go to tradition, is it just simply to be busy, right? We do it because we do it. Or is there something more behind it? I consider the communion table, which we'll be going to shortly, it's a tradition. It's a tradition that Jesus actually established. He said, every time you get together, do this in remembrance of me. I think sometimes we get lost in our tradition. We forget, and maybe we just go through the motions and we get busy. And the scripture is pretty clear. It says things such as, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, right? And that's change, and that's what the gospel does. The gospel changes us. It puts a new light, a new reflection to something. We suddenly realize, this morning I had somebody share with me, they heard me talk about the Grinch and Scrooge and saw and said, I never thought about it that way. When we look at it through the lens of the gospel, when we look through it the way God would see it, we it's amazing when his truth pops up into places that unexpected. And maybe that wasn't the intent of Seuss, right? It wasn't necessarily the intent of Dickens, although I know that he was a believer. I think it's still just that it's that something deep inside us that we just know, and we're not sure why, and it's because God put it there so that we might. No different than the story that we read this morning with the wise men and the star. Star placed there for the sole purpose that they would notice it, not know it, but notice it and then come to know. This morning, or I keep saying this morning, that's part of the tradition, right? I'm up here, it must be morning. This evening, I'm going to share with you, as I have ever since I've been here. This comes from Max Lucado's God Came Near. It's just the first chapter, and I love the whole book, but I love this chapter talking about How busy we are and what that means. So I'm going to read this and then we're going to go to a time of communion. The noise and the bustle began earlier than usual in the village. As night gave way to dawn, people were already on the streets. Vendors were positioning themselves on the corners of the most heavily traveled avenues. Store owners were unlocking the doors to their shops. Children were awakened by the excited barking of the street dogs and the complaints of donkeys pulling carts. The owner of the inn had awakened earlier than most in the town. After all, the inn was full and all the beds were taken. Every available mat or blanket had been put to use. And soon all the customers would be stirring. There'd be a lot of work to do. One's imagination is kindled thinking about the conversations of the innkeeper and his family at the breakfast table. Did anyone mention the arrival of the young couple the night before? Did anyone ask about their welfare? Did anyone comment on the pregnancy of the girl on the donkey? Perhaps someone raised the subject, but at best it was raised, not discussed. There was nothing that novel about them. I mean, they were possibly one of several families turned away that night. Besides, who had the time to talk about them when there was all this excitement in the air? Augustus did the economy of Bethlehem a favor when he decreed that a census should be taken. Who could remember when such commerce had hit the village? No, it was doubtful that anyone mentioned the couple's arrival or wondered about the condition of the girl. They were too busy. The day was upon them. The day's bread had to be made. The morning's chores had to be done. There was so much to do. To imagine the impossible had occurred. That God had entered the world as a baby. Yet were someone to chance upon the sheep stable on the outskirts of Bethlehem that morning, what a peculiar scene they would behold. Now the stable stinks like all stables do. The stench of urine, dung, and sheep ring pungently in the air. The ground is harsh, the hay is scarce, cobwebs cling to the ceiling, and a mouse scurries across the dirt floor. A more lowly place of birth could not exist. Now off to one side sits a group of shepherds. They sit silently on the floor, perhaps perplexed, perhaps in awe, but no doubt in amazement. Their night watch had been interrupted by an explosion of light from heaven and a symphony of angels. God goes to those who have time to hear him. So on this cloudless night, he went to simple shepherds. Now near the young mother sits the weary father. If anyone is dozing, he is. He can't remember the last time he sat down. And now that the excitement had subsided a bit, and now that Mary and the baby are comfortable, he leans against the wall of the stable. He feels his eyes grow heavy. He still hasn't figured it all out. I mean, the mystery of the events puzzle him, but he hasn't the energy to wrestle with the questions. What's important is that the baby is fine and that Mary is safe, and as sleep comes, he remembers the name that the angel told him to use. Jesus. We will call him Jesus. How wide awake is Mary. How young she looks. Her head rests on the soft leather of Joseph's saddle. The pain has been eclipsed by wonder. She looks into the face of the baby, her son, her Lord, his majesty. At this point in history, the human being who best understands who God is and what he is doing is a teenage girl in a smelly stable. She can't take her eyes off of him. Somehow Mary knows she's holding God. So this is he. And she remembers the words of the angel. His kingdom it'll never end. He looks like anything but a king. His face is prunish and red. His cry, though strong and healthy, is still the helpless and piercing cry of a baby. And he is absolutely dependent upon Mary for his well-being. Majesty in the midst of the mundane, holiness in the filth of sheep manure and sweat, divinity entering the world on the floor of a stable, through the womb of a teenager in the presence of a carpenter. She touches the face of the infant God. How long was your journey? Now this baby had overlooked the universe. These rags keeping him warm were the robes of eternity. His golden throne room had been abandoned in favor of a dirty sheep pen, and worshiping angels had been replaced with kind but bewildered shepherds. Meanwhile, The city hums. The merchants are unaware that God had visited their planet. The innkeeper would never believe that he had just sent God into the cold. And the people would scoff at anyone who told them that the Messiah lay in the arms of a teenager on the outskirts of their village. Now, they were all too busy to consider the possibility. Those who missed His Majesty's arrival that night missed it not because of evil act or malice. No, they missed it because they simply weren't looking. Little has changed in the last 2,000 years, has it? I stop and I consider how often I get wrapped up in the busy that I forget what it's actually all about. We're going to go to a time of communion, and I just invite you to come to the table as He has invited us to the table to remember why He came. See, He didn't come as a baby to be just that, a baby. It didn't stay in the manger. It went to the cross. It went from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to the right hand of God the Father. That is to say that grace entered in the gift of Jesus. And it's to understand this gift. It's, again, not just the baby, but it's Him saying, this is Me, and I'm giving Myself to you. I'm giving Myself for you. This is My body. That's the bread. And then He enters to the cup, and He says, this is the cup. This is My blood. And more importantly, He says, this is a new covenant. It's not the old covenant. Whatever the old tradition was, we're starting something new today. And that new is that My promise to you, that I am yours and you are Mine, and I will return for you. As we come to the communion table this evening, and you come and you take the bread and then take the candle, I would ask you to consider this, consider the light that has entered the world because of who Christ is. That's the whole purpose of the candles. It's to remember that as long as we are here, we get to proclaim this. And we wait for the day that His second advent comes, His return. Let's pray. Father God, again, we thank You so much. We thank You so much for the gift of Your Son. We thank You so much that this mystery has been made known. And Father, as we've looked at Your word, we understand that this was the plan before the plan was even known. That it was Your desire that You would draw us near by You drawing near to us first. Father, we thank You for that. And Father, as we take this communion as a remembrance of what it is that Christ has done and has sealed us in, that we would also consider the light that He has brought into this world, and that as we wait, we become that light now. And Father, let us not get so busy. Let us not get so wrapped up in the things that will happen later tonight and tomorrow morning. Allow us to have these moments of excitement, and we enjoy our family, but please, Lord, remind us where that joy truly comes from. We thank You, and we give You all the praise, and we give You all the glory. Amen. You can blow out your candle if you want. Just want to say Merry Christmas, and I hope this Christmas is the same and different, right? It's like, hold on to the things that are dear and look forward to the things that are yet to come, and I hope that you have an incredible night, an incredible tomorrow, and that you remember why it is that we're gathering together, and it has absolutely nothing to do with what's under the tree. I hope you have a great one. And also, I want to remind you that next week, of course, we go into New Year, and we've got some New Year stuff that's happening as well. We have New Year stuff happening in the morning, and we have New Year stuff happening in the evening, and we invite you to come and join us and be a part of everything that's going on there too. But tonight, I just want to wish you a good night, a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you later.